to try to expand globally. Long curly hair and a beard, but he ain't Toby Keith. You might have thought it's beef, but we gon' handle that. Stealing jerseys off of the wall like fuck Vander Jack. Okay, he ran with that, and now he's on the loose. Put a little bit of poison in his Jamba juice. Go ahead and drink on that, just take another sip. Need an appraisal? Shout out to Ron Huff and Dick. The kids loving this, I know you heard it, son. The purpose is perfect, every person we learn something from. Go ahead and come along, we have a little fun. A few questions, how about 31?
You have made it to the 31. This is Brant Tobler, the host of the 31. You just heard the greatest intro in all the podcast world, brought to you by the great Garrett Plummer. Thank you so much for finding the show, however you found it. You can always find us each week on the Sideshow Network. If you enjoy podcasts, check it out. They have over like 50 podcasts, and they are all great, and I'm happy to be a part of that network. If you want to catch up on old episodes, you can get them all on iTunes, or you can go to the 31podcast.com. 31podcast.com will have all my tour dates, have the old episodes, and it's where you can buy t-shirts. And I would love for you to buy a t-shirt. Nothing makes me feel better than going all over the country and seeing my face on people's boobs, men and women's. If you could, go to iTunes, please subscribe to the podcast, give it a 5-star rating, and leave a review. That is how they measure podcasts at iTunes. It's a weird process that no one really understands. But if you do that, it really helps the podcast. It takes like 20 seconds, and I really appreciate it. Other than that, if you enjoy the podcast, just please tell everyone you know. This podcast has had such success because the fans are so great. And I love you guys, and I can't thank you enough for everything you guys have already done for the podcast. And I hope you continue to enjoy it. And please tell everyone you know. I love each and every one of you. Yo! Hey, guys. How are you? It's good to be back. We're rolling back on track. Happy New Year. No, it's March or whatever. First things first, the news is finally here. We're doing the tour. You've seen the tour dates. They're up if you haven't. Go to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that. I posted the poster, 60 dates all across the Western United States. Now, what I need from you guys is this. It's a one-time thing. I have a Kickstarter to raise money to pay for all the filming and editing and driving, rent a car's gas and all that shit. But as 31 fans, I made a special thing for you guys in the Kickstarter. It just costs one donation of $31. Get you two tickets to a show, any show you want. Get you an autographed CD. Get you a postcard sent from me from anywhere on the road that you want me to send it from. Drunk or sober, I'll write it. And you get to ask a question on a future episode of the 31. So I think it's a good deal. Obviously, I never charge for this. I love you guys. You guys have been so supportive. But this is the one time I actually need you. So if you guys don't mind, please go to the Kickstarter. Click on the $31. Donate $31. And then I'll see you at a show. And you'll get to have a question on here and get a shout out. And it'll help this whole thing come together. Because I'm filming the whole thing. And then you'll get to watch it all on YouTube when I get back. I'm going to put out a show every 2 days. So each city will have its own show. And then I'm going to put it out every 2 days. So you're going to get a ton of content. You guys know how much tickets cost. So it's a good deal for you guys, and it'll help me a ton. And this is just the one time I need you guys. So please do it if you can. If you can't, I understand. But if you can, just click on there, put the $31. I'll get your question from you. You'll be a part of the show, and you'll be a part of the tour. That's enough asking for stuff. I hate to do it. That's why I've never had sponsors or anything. But I just need you guys this one time. Other than that, I can't announce all the tour dates. They're all there. 60 of them in a row. I'm super excited. I really think this is what is going to change my life. So I can't wait to get out on the road and do it. So I can't wait to see you guys all out on the road. And here comes another episode. And here we go. Episode 51. Today's my guest is a comedian, actress, model, TV host, and an all-around badass, the lovely Jen Sturger. How are you?
Thank you so much. You got all my credits right.
Is that a good intro?
It's a very good intro. I like that you give me way more credit for my career than most people do, including my parents. So.
Oh, they don't give you a lot?
Oh, hell no. They're like, when are you coming home? I'm like, never.
Well, it's funny. I was doing shows in Vegas, and I got a call one day from Bert. And Bert's like, you have to have Jen on the show. And I was like, of course, cool. And then I sent you a message. And
he's so great, honestly. I mean, he's a really good interviewer. And I don't know if it's because he's so honest about his life and so open about, like, you know, his flaws and, like, his, like, peaks and valleys that he's gone through that, like, he just makes you want to open up. I was like, holy crap, I overshared in that interview. But people were like, that was the best interview ever. And I was like, yeah, I'll probably never get hired now anywhere.
Nah, you're fine. Yeah, if you haven't heard it, it's Bert Kreischer's. It's probably, what, maybe 5 episodes ago?
Maybe. And then I did another one with him and Mike Calta and one of the kids from Mike Calta's show. And that was a disaster and a half.
Oh, yeah, that's like the newest one, I think, that just came
out. Yeah, it was the newest one. I was hoping that Bert got so drunk he forgot to record it because I just knew it was going to be an absolute shit show. And he was like, no, it's out now. I'm like, shit.
Well, you guys recorded it. You flew out there to do the day shows, right?
Yeah, we recorded it the day we did the Colin Sick show, but we did radio the morning of. And so I got there to radio and I told him, I'm like, look, if I get there at radio at 9 a.m., that's still 6 a.m. West Coast time. And so they were giving me crap about being late, but I was like, I'll get there. Like, you guys wake up and look. Well, yeah. It's as good as it gets when you guys wake up. You know what I mean? I have to, like, get ready and put my face on so that I don't scare the living daylights out of people. So I rolled into radio at, like, 9 a.m. to do this show with them. And it was Bert and Eric Griffin from Workaholics.
Nice.
And then Mike and his guys. And everyone except for Eric was completely blackout retarded. It was 9 a.m.
At 9 a.m.?
At 9 a.m., yeah. I walk in and the first thing they do is, like, hand me 2 shots. I was like, this is going to be a bad day. This is going to be a really bad day.
So then you guys did the show at what
time? At the Improv.
At, like, noon, though?
At noon, yeah.
Did a lot of people come?
Oh, my God, it was sold out.
Holy shit.
It was sold out. I was just like, wow. Like, either, like, the unemployment rate in Tampa is super high or, like, you people have really terrible bosses that have no idea, like, what you guys are doing with your spare time.
That's awesome. I can't really sell out a show at noon. And they just get everyone just get wasted.
He did a you know, it was really interesting because I featured for him, but it was crazy because I was like, oh, how long are you going to do? He's like, maybe 40 minutes to an hour max. An hour and 40 minutes later, Bert's still on stage with, like, barely any clothes on. I was like, we're not going home anytime soon.
That's
but
funny.
People were still enthralled. Like, they weren't leaving. I was just like, you guys aren't drunk enough yet. Like, go home.
He's got the greatest stories. I could listen to him forever.
Oh, absolutely.
And he loves to tell them, so.
I can listen to the same story over and over again because he's going to find something funnier the next time he tells it, you know?
I just love his laugh. He gets so hyper.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Wait, how'd you meet Bert?
Through Twitter, the way I meet everybody.
Through Twitter?
Yeah. Like, I was bitching about the national championship playoff game that I went to. And he was like, weird question. He's like, I'm going to be in LA. Would you want to do the podcast? And I was like, yeah, sure. And it was just so weird because we sat down and we realized we had so much in common. Like, we're both from Tampa. Like, we grew up literally, like, we could walk to each other's houses.
Really?
That's how close we grew up to each other. Like, we went to the same high school. We went, like, everything was the same. We went to the same college.
That's crazy.
So I'm just him with, like, not as good boobs. You know what I mean? Basically.
He would love that. That's funny. All right, let's get going. You ready?
Absolutely. Let's do this.
What's your full name?
My full name is Jennifer Lynette Sturger.
Where's the Lynette come from?
I think my mom, like, named me after a Cabbage Patch Kid she had. I don't
oh, really?
Know. Yeah. It's not like it's a family name or anything. And everyone's always like, it sounds like you're an 80-year-old woman who plays bridge. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even a cool middle name. But when I was looking for, I didn't contemplate taking a stage name or anything like that when I got into entertainment. I actually thought of taking a different name when I worked at Hooters because I didn't want people to know I worked
oh,
there.
Really?
I was so ashamed of it. And they were like, just go by your middle name. And I was like, yeah, no, that will kill my tips.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I tried to come up with, like, all kinds of, like, weird, like hybrid names between my first name and my middle name. And they just all sounded like strippers. So I was just like, screw it. I guess I'm going with my real name.
How was working at Hooters?
Oh my God. Is this one of the questions? Does that
No, but I got to ask it.
Uh-huh. How was working at Hooters? I quit 2 weeks.
Give me your favorite Hooters story.
I quit 2 weeks into Hooters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was working the door, because you have to, like, kind of put in your dues before they let you, like, wear the orange shorts, because it's, like, an honor, you know? Uh-huh. It's an honor to embarrass your parents on that level. And I was working the door, and I'd throw my back out of the gym, so I was on massive amounts of painkillers. And I was just like, look, I told the other girl working with me, I'm like, if they let one of us go, let me go first. Uh-huh. And she's like, okay. An hour and a half later, this girl's walking out in her sweats, which means she's cut. And I was just like, wait, what happened to, like, our deal? Like, where are you going? And she's like, oh, I remember that I have school tomorrow. Like, I have to, like, register for classes. And I looked at her with, like, just dead stare, and I go, run. And she goes, what? And I was just like, I go, what is tomorrow? And she's like, it's Friday. I'm like, no, tomorrow is the 4th of fucking July, and there's not an institution in America that's going to be open tomorrow. Yeah. I was like, so you're a liar. I was like, do me a favor and get down into your clips before I beat the living crap out of you. And I literally chased her off the patio. So I was like, I stewed on it all night long and went in like at 8 o'clock the next morning. I barely slept. And I just threw all of my stupid uniform pieces, including like those fake, like, sweaty chicken cutlet things. That was the other thing. I got written up when I worked there because I slapped a dude with one of those.
Really?
Like those breast inserts, because it was before I had implants. And so I was like trying to, trying to fool people into thinking I had big boobs. And I just took one guy was just staring at him so hard, and I was like, you want them? Have them. And I smacked him with it. I definitely got written up for that. So I think I'm not banned anymore, but I was banned from that location for a while. They thought I was going to burn the building down when I quit. And I was like, you employ some of the dumbest girls I've ever met in my life. I was like, I cannot work here. So
you did done better at Coyote Ugly, I think.
Coyote Ugly? Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds more your style, just talking shit to people.
Well, it's just, like, I can only put up with so much stupidity. You know what I mean? I have zero BS tolerance. And, like, that's where I think Hooters was not up my alley.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And when I meet girls now that tell me that they work there, I'm like, of course you did. Yeah. You know, like, I can just tell. Like, I can smell them right away.
A couple LA girls have worked at Hooters, I take it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of my good friends have worked there, too. Don't get me wrong. They're not all like that. But some girls, I'm just like, ugh, please leave.
The food's just too shitty for me. I really think it sucks.
I don't get the draw at all. It's like a really bad theme park, you know? Like,
yeah, I don't
the rides
I
aren't
like
that great.
I like to go flirt a little bit, but the food just is shitty. We used to go to the one on Hollywood and be like, and then there's a Buffalo Wild Wings right next to it.
Yeah, we're once, like, the Buffalo Wild Wings opens up, you just can't even mess around with Hooters, because BW3's is way better.
The wings are just so shitty. But sorry, Hooters, I'm sure I'll end up there one more time.
There goes your sponsorship.
Where are you from?
I'm from Lutz, Florida. I was born in Miami, though, so.
Lutz?
Yeah, Lutz.
I've never even heard of that.
It's just north of Tampa. It's where Jeter's old house used to be.
Oh, really?
Like, up by, like, Avila and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a really small town. But I like to give them credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not Tampa. Because if I was Tampa, they'd be like, oh, she's a stripper. Or she used to be a stripper. Because that's all we do there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just Tampa's like the farm club for strip clubs everywhere. Like, that's where you start, you know? And then they, like, send you out to the majors.
I thought Jacksonville was like that too, though.
No, Tampa's, I feel, better. Like, Jacksonville's like intramurals. Like, they're not even they're not even like at the farm system yet, you know.
So if you want to get them young, you should go to Tampa.
Exactly.
All right, dude.
I can't go there. I'm scared I'm gonna run into kids that were like on the dance team with my sister.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Things are going really well for you, Becky, huh? You know, like, I just can't bring myself to go to a strip club in Tampa.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
My go-to karaoke song. Anything by Journey.
Uh-huh.
Usually it's like Faithfully, just because I find that Don't Stop Believing is just a little overplayed. So I usually like to go to something a little different, but I like Journey. I do. I like anything in the 80s. I think it's just when you're an 80s baby and you're just surrounded by that, like, that's like your go-to music.
A lot of comics have said Journey. That's funny.
Really?
Yeah, like Josh McCuga loves Journey. I don't know if you know him, but
yeah, no. I mean, I just think it's one of those things where if you grew up in the 80s, like, it was a staple of what your parents listened to. Maybe some rock set, you know. When I was younger, Spice Girls were definitely on that, because all you had to do was scream into the microphone and use a bad accent. It was pretty great.
Yeah, that'll always crush Spice Girls.
Spice Girls, yes.
I've seen some gay guys crush Spice Girls out here.
They probably would. They'd probably crush it harder than I do. That's the problem. My gays really like Stevie Nicks, though.
Oh, really?
Stevie is their go-to.
I like that. I love Stevie Nicks. I could never pull that off. Or the gay bar. Any of that whole sentence. I don't know if I could do any of it. What'd you do on your 21st birthday?
My 21st birthday, I was in the hospital.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
I had these like weird abscesses on my tonsils that popped up. So I had to go and get them lanced. That's what I did. And it was so funny because I had been drinking earlier in the day because I was like, my throat hurts. I'm just going to keep drinking. That was because like I had the Burt mentality in college, you know, alcohol cures all ills. And I just remember going to the hospital the other day. They're like, do you drink? I'm like, no, even though I'm sure my breath reeked of it.
So you just, that sucks.
Yeah.
So that's so shitty. I have no follow-up question. That just sounds like the worst 21st
anytime,
birthday.
Yeah, anytime like there was supposed to be like a benchmark day, I always seem to like find a way for karma to mess that up for me. Like I was going to go to the Super Bowl in 2008. Yeah, 2008. And that was when it was Giants-Patriots in Arizona.
Phoenix,
and I was out there. And I was supposed to fly back to Phoenix after I was taping out here. And somehow while I was taping on USC and UCLA's campus, I got meningitis.
Ugh.
And so I ended up in the hospital with no television set. So I was literally having friends text me the play-by-play, and they're like, we need to do your spinal tap. I'm like, I have to wait and see if they make this play. And they're like, if you have, like, real meningitis, like, bacterial, you will die. And I was like, hurry this up.
That was a pretty good Super Bowl, too. That sucks.
Yeah, rub it in. Thanks.
It's like if you're going to get married or something, you have to really worry about something awful happening.
Oh, I know.
For what big
I think
day.
I would just have to elope or, like, just call my friends the day of, hey, so what are you doing? So like, exactly. So that karma doesn't have a way to, like, plan it out for me.
So did you love going to school at FSU?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
How crazy was that whole thing when that happened? When you became... Because that was, like, pre-internet, wasn't it?
That was, like, before the internet was big. Like, there wasn't... Facebook had just started, and I was only using it to spy on my ex-boyfriend. there were, like, other little social networking sites, like Friendster and stuff, and MySpace had just started, too. But, like, it wasn't really big then. So the way I kind of blew up was over message boards.
Really?
Message boards.
So, well, if you don't know the story, it was FSU. Who were they playing? Was it Miami game?
Miami, yeah. FSU-Miami, I think it was, like, September 5th. It was right after Hurricane Katrina. So those two things are unrelated, but I don't know why. I just always remember it. You know, like you always remember significant events around things like that. And yeah, it was Miami, Florida State, and I was at the football game with my girlfriends, and Brent Musburger, I guess coming back from commercial, said 1,500 red-blooded young American men just signed up to go to Florida State.
Because they showed like you.
It's kind of a small recruiting class, but I mean, I should be flattered. You know?
But they showed you. It was like what, four
showed
or five of you?
Me and two of my girlfriends.
Dressed up as cowgirls.
I was the only one with the cowboy hat on. And that was just like sheer dumb luck. The only reason I had the cowboy hat on is because I have naturally curly hair.
Uh-huh.
And so if I didn't have a hat on, like in 90-degree humid weather, I would look like a chia pet. Uh-huh. That's the only way to describe it, you know? Soul Glow does not do me justice.
Yeah.
Like,
so then did the just the very next day, or what was like the first? Because
yeah,
I even remember
very,
that. I was like in Vegas, and I remember
night.
It
that
just.
That night, my dad got texts and they, like, from his friends, and they were like, was Jen at the game? My dad was like, yeah, why? And he goes, I saw her on TV. A lot of her on TV, you know, and it just kind of snowballed from there, like on like warchant.com, and I think Deadspin picked up the pictures, and it was just chaos from then on out.
Have you ever met Brent Musburger?
Yeah.
What did he say?
I've seen him twice. The first time I met him, I just thanked him really graciously and was like, hey, you probably don't remember it because you're wasted, but you kind of changed my life, and I really appreciate it. And he was really sweet and gracious. The next time I saw him, he was in an elevator, and he was blitzed. And... He didn't even register him who I was,
really?
But he checked me out really hard. Like, maybe I should know her. Maybe Alzheimer's is kicking in. But
that's fun. That's another similarity with Bert. Like, you're at FSU and your whole life just changes in like one day.
FSU
Bert said,
does that to people.
Yeah, Bert said the same. He's like, then one day that article came out, and then
yeah.
I talked to my dad and kind of like the same. People were calling my dad, and then.
Exactly.
So that really just changed your life from that day on, right?
Yeah. When people ask about my college experience, I was like, I was a dork for the first 3 years and like a hopeless romantic and like in love with my college sweetheart. And then the last year was just an absolute wreck. Like, it was just mass chaos. I was like a rock star. Like, I was like Lindsay Lohan when she was like at her peak, you know, didn't care about anything. I don't know how I didn't get arrested. Like, oh.
So everybody on campus, was there hate towards you by other girls? Or did
tons of it, because I wasn't in a sorority. Like, I didn't have a lot of close girlfriends except for, you know, real girls. Because it didn't make sense to me to be in a sorority, because I was like, I'm paying for friends, really? No. They aren't going to be my friends realistically anyway. Like, I've just always gotten along better with guys because I just don't have, I don't have enough bullshit tolerance to deal with that many women telling me what to do.
What you need at a sorority house, for sure.
Put
up with a lot of bullshit.
I couldn't do it. So, yeah. Florida State was just an incredible experience.
It seems like a great party school. It sounds like you lived it up.
And you know what? I went back this November and it was still crazy.
It was still fun?
It was still insane. But now, like, their clubs are way better. Like, the places that I used to hang out when I went to school there were, like, practically crack dens. Like, right. They were just these big, large spaces that they pumped, you know, crappy music through. And now they've got, like, South Beach-style clubs right across from the stadium. I was like, I would probably die if I went to school now. I wouldn't make it out alive.
Did that tradition live on after you left?
Girls
always try to sit in the front row and...
Yep. They actually kind of commercialized it. Like, one of the websites that's, like, really big at Florida State with Warchant, like, they borrowed the idea from me. And a buddy of mine kind of, like, oversaw it and made sure that they didn't, like, hire too many ugly girls or anything like that. Like, I was like, just don't bastardize my idea, okay?
Yeah.
Like, don't, like, put, like, ugly girls or girls that are, like, going to be wasted. Because I was never drunk.
Uh-huh.
When I went to the games, I was never drunk. I was completely sober. Like, I conducted myself as a model citizen when I was... As I felt like I was representing my school.
Uh-huh.
Outside of there, I can't vouch for anything
in the party.
Exactly. The minute the outfit was off, all bets were off.
That's so cool that it happened. It's so crazy that one dude's weirdness could change your life, though.
Exactly. I was the second Pamela Anderson and the original Catherine Webb, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's so funny, because I forgot Pamela Anderson was like that. And we used to see Catherine Webb before I even met you out here. You were like, that's not the original girl. The Florida State girl's the original girl.
Exactly.
You ever met Catherine Webb?
I was like, damn it. When they put me on the screen, why wasn't my Twitter handle up there like hers was? Oh, because Twitter wasn't available at the time, you know?
Have you ever met her?
No. I really, really wanted to play Alabama in the national championship like 2 years ago, and it just didn't work out, you know?
Yeah. Close.
Close, but
did you go to that game?
I was there.
Oh, it was one of the best games I've ever
been to. It was nerve-wracking because I had just had a breast reduction like a week and a half before. So I was on massive amounts of pain medication. But I was like, I'm still going to this game. And I went to go jump up and down on that last run back when we were running back. And I was like mid-air first jump and I went, oh no! Because I realized the minute I hit the ground, this was going to hurt so bad.
Did it hurt to get him taken out?
Yeah, it still does. You know what I mean? Like, it, because they kind of resituate everything, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh. Do you miss?
You're never the same. Once you, like, go that big, you're never the same.
Wait, did you just go too big in the beginning, you think?
I didn't go too big in the beginning. I went too big the second time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there's been 4 surgeries.
Wait, when was the first one?
First one was when I was 19.
And then you didn't think they were big enough, right?
I had, like, a capsular contracture, which is, like, where one of them gets, like, too hard. And so I redid them, like, right after I did Playboy. And then I took them out, like, in 2009 originally. But, like, you have to put, like, little spacers in to kind of, like, they have to gradually go back in because your body just doesn't know what to do, you know? And I didn't want to look like, who's that lady on the WWE with, like, the tube socks in her boobs? They're very weird.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Do you know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
It's May, you know,
yeah.
May Young.
Yeah, I think it is May Young.
May Young,
yeah.
I get her and Mae West confused. It's like, it's just a name thing. I'm terrible with names.
So you took them out.
No, put them in, changed them, made them bigger. Took them out, but made like smaller things. And then now I'm like normal again.
Back to normal?
Nice. Yeah.
What advice would you give a girl? It seems like every girl
don't do it.
Oh, don't do it at all?
Don't do it. There's just no reason. Unless you're, like, deformed. Like, when I'm in, like, in the yoga locker rooms and stuff out here, like, Girls' bodies are usually so much better without them. Like, unless you are straight up deformed, like, don't mess up what God gave you. That's, like, the advice I give anybody. Because at some point, you're going to either have to take them out or you're going to have to, like, downsize. It's a constant maintenance and upkeep.
Yeah. Do they ever pop?
I mean, mine never did, but I'm sure they do. One of my girlfriends that's a wrestler, hers was leaking, and it was, like, deflating and looking really weird, so she had to get it replaced. And she went bigger. I was like, good luck with that.
Every girl I've ever known, it's like, either goes bigger or was like, I should have went bigger.
Because I think that you get used to how you look with the new ones, and you're like, oh, but what if they were bigger? And you don't realize you would look fatter if they were bigger. Uh-huh. Like, it's just all about, like, creating, like, the right silhouette. It's not about, like, I need big boobs. No, just work out. Like, you know, keep your body in good shape. Like, that's what guys are attracted to more, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that's true. But that's just a way of getting around working out, if you just put some big boobs on.
But
there.
There's never been an instance in your life where you were like, took off a girl's shirt and were like, you know what, these just aren't going to cut it. Like,
no,
like,
I don't
guys
care
are just excited to see boobs in general.
But I do love boobs. I'm still mad. Like, two of my ex-girlfriends got boob jobs right after we broke up.
Son of an asshole.
But then I've also had bad boob jobs that it feels like I'm laying on a girl's knees.
Ew.
Like, when they're super hard and, like...
Yeah, that's a contracture. That's, like, that
I've seen some
fixed.
Really bad boob jobs, too.
That
was,
needs
I guess,
to be fixed.
I agree. Just keep them. Keep what you got.
Keep
don't care that
keep,
much.
Keep them natural.
Yeah. So that's good advice. We've never had a boob job segment. I like
this. Sorry.
No, it's good.
It's brutal honesty. That's all it is.
It's something different. If you go back to your first day of high school and give yourself advice, what would it be?
Be authentic. Like, be who you are, and, like, don't change yourself for other people. I feel like I've done that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing it well into, like, my, you know, into adulthood and well into, like, my late 20s, where I was pretty much whatever people wanted me to be. Like, if they paid me to be something on television, if they wanted the dumb girl, that's who they got. Like,
mm-hmm.
if they wanted just the dumb hot girl, I was like, yep, I volunteer. And I feel like it pigeonholed me a lot, you know. It pigeonholed me in high school because I would always end up dating, like, the jock that treated me like crap, or I would end up in really messed up abusive relationships, or just it always, like, I think it affected the way people thought about me.
Uh-huh.
A lot, you know.
What made it change, you think? Or what made you change?
What made me change? The scandal. Like, going through the scandal and realizing that the way I saw myself and the way the world saw me were two completely different things was really eye-opening experience. I was like, how can people see me this way? Like, I didn't do anything wrong. And it made me reevaluate things and showed me, kind of like held up a mirror to me and was like, this is how everyone else sees you.
Well,
yeah. And I still experience that.
Still to this day. Oh, I'm sure it'll stick with you.
Well, there's just a big disconnect with, like, what I look like and what people want me, like, what people think I'm going to be, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, with the scandal, that wasn't even, what's kind of not fair about it. That's not even your fault, really,
no.
Right? You didn't even do anything.
I got sold out.
So, like, how does that even start? So you get the job?
Yeah. I mean, basically, I got harassed when I was at a job. Like, I'm sure it's happened to plenty of people where they get harassed at a job either by a superior or by someone that's in a position of power over them. And for me, it was all cyber stalking. Like, I never met the person. I was never in the
same... Oh, you never even knew him?
No.
Oh, that's what I was just going to say. Did he see you, or how did it...
Yeah. I mean, I worked around the players, but I was never face-to-face with them. You know what I mean? Like, in a one-on-one setting. Like, I would see them during warm-ups because I was on the field too. You know, I'd pass them in the tunnels, but that's the extent of it. You
mm-hmm.
know, I never was one-on-one with any of them.
Well, how does he get your phone number?
That's a great question. The best answer I can come up with is someone in the organization gave it to him.
So
because I changed my number in the middle of it, and he still got it.
Really?
Yeah, because you have to give your employer your phone number.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so there was just a lot of things that happened that I don't think I'll ever have answers to. And it sucks because I think it painted me in a really terrible light that I'm still constantly, like, I was having a conversation about this with somebody the other day, and I was like, I've got to keep going. Like, I can't give up until I have rewritten my obituary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want the first line of my obituary to be like, she received famous dick pictures. Like, you can't be that girl the rest of your life.
Well, it's not
you have
to fair
redefine
to you
yourself.
At all, but
no.
Like, for dudes, like, I remember the first time I met you, I was like, holy shit, that's from the hole. Because I'm a huge football fan. Yeah. I was like,
but I see out here, I kind of like it. There's a lot more anonymity out here because people don't know football and they don't care. Like, there's way bigger scandals going on that they're like, who's that? Whatever.
That's so crazy. Did he ever apologize or anything?
No.
Ugh. If you ever saw him, what would you... Should I punch him in the face if I see
him? You know, that's the thing, though, is I will never know if it was him.
Oh, you don't think it was him?
I will never know for sure if it was him because I've never met him in person. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they did a Porky's lineup, like, with Roger Goodell and was like, which dick was the one that sent you pictures? Like, that didn't happen, you know?
But I thought, like, so he had his watch on or something. I thought there was...
There will be no security, you know, like, as far as, like, me ever knowing whether or not that happened.
But you got to think it was him, right?
I mean, I can't even speculate. Like, that's where it's at. For the sake of not getting sued, I can't speculate.
Oh, I got you. You know? Did the NFL I can't even, I have so many questions about this, and you probably hate talking about it?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm honest about it, because I think anytime I get the chance to tell my side of the story in its entirety and to the best of my recollection, because as I've told people before, like, I was on so much medication when this was happening because I had such anxiety going to work that I didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it was 2008, you know, so that was right after the market crashed and, like, the housing market was a disaster. Like, all jobs that I had when I moved to New York dissolved except for the Jets. So I had no choice but to keep showing up every week for work, no matter how much I hated it. And, yeah, when I finally, like, went and, like, got checked out, like, and no one really knew what was going on, not even my parents. They just knew I was under a massive amount of anxiety and, like, depression. Yeah. They were like, your daughter's on enough drugs to kill Keith Richards. Like, what?
Holy shit.
Yeah. But it was all prescribed to me. It was just doctors being really careless, you know, and I was just following their directions.
It just doesn't seem... Couldn't you have sued... Could you have sued the Jets or anything?
I guess I could have.
Like, it just doesn't seem fair to you. You weren't even doing anything, and then you just got...
But what had happened was the statute of limitations ran out.
Oh.
Because I had never done anything about it, and I wasn't going to make a stink about it, you know. The only reason I had to come out and talk about it ever was that I got sold out by Deadspin. Yeah, I got sold out by Deadspin, and that was why I had to come out and address the situation. But really... Like, I just try to remove myself from the situation as much as I can now, you know?
I don't
talk about it on stage unless somebody asks me about it, and in which case, I'm super honest.
No, I can't imagine. It just upsets me that it's not fair that you got all the shit from it when you didn't even do anything.
Yeah, but I always tell
people.
You
have a phone. You paid your phone bill, and then you're punished for just paying your phone bill. Just like...
Exactly.
It just seems like a...
I always tell people, I'm like, it's like an elephant came and took a giant crap in my front lawn, and it's my job to clean up after the elephant.
Yeah,
that's not even my... This isn't my elephant. I don't have an elephant.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I saw it.
Well, if I ever see him... Favre, you piece of shit.
Brant gets arrested for punching someone in the face.
I'll get on Deadspin again. Fuck
yes. Man. What were you on there for?
Me and Jeff stole these Vanderjack jerseys from him, from Mike Vanderjack's jerseys from his restaurant in Florida.
Oh no!
And then we took them back, and then we stole them again the next night. So we thought it was funny, and then we gave the story.
You were like the Ted Mosby, like with the blue French horn from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, yeah.
Except it was jerseys.
So it was two Pro Bowl jerseys, and we thought it was funny, so we gave the story to Deadspin, but then the guy at Deadspin kind of sold us out, and we thought he wrote it shitty, so then we had all those fucking Deadspin trolls just bombing on us.
Aren't
saying
they
what kind
fun?
Of douche. And I'm sure we only caught a little of what you had, but we were like, it totally went, I mean, it was
it
our fault.
It goes south real fast.
Yeah,
section is where things go south.
Yeah, yeah. And we were douches about it, but we thought it was more of a prank and funny, and then, so we... And I love Deadspin, so I thought it'd be like good press, and then we got on there, and then everybody just bashed us, like, you guys are fucking losers, and we were like, oh, we can't read these comments.
No.
So I learned my Deadspin lesson on a very smaller scale than you did, but
yeah, imagine that, but every day for at least, I don't know.
Who was the weirdest person that's ever contacted you about it?
Ugh, I don't know. Like, about that specifically? I think the funniest moment I had was when AJ wrote me, like, when he found out I'd given an interview to ABC, to George Stephanopoulos. he wrote me and was like, hey, it's AJ. Look, if you ever want to talk, I was like, you can burn in hell, dude. I don't care.
Wait,
like,
who? AJ who?
AJ Delario, the guy that was running Deadspin at the time. The guy that actually sold me out.
Got you.
He was like, if you ever want to talk, like, I would give him an interview. Really?
Well, I know you hate it, but
I want whatever drugs he's on.
I will say it was you had the funniest tweet when you sent that tweet to Peyton Manning.
Oh, I thought it was pretty hilarious. People were like, did you sit on that for 4 years? I was like, no. I've been reading your hack dick jokes for 4 years, yeah, though. And so just like anyone who's offended by the fact that, like, comedy is personal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's what I'm doing now with my life. So if you have an issue with me making fun of my own personal life.
Yeah, you, like, earned that tweet.
I earned that. I put in the time for that.
But and I thought it was hilarious. It was fucking perfect timing, and it was just funny, and I thought it was great.
Thank you. So, I appreciate it.
So fuck all you guys. Get off comment sections. I hope none of you fans even... no one writes a good comment, so if you're a person that writes a comment...
No, only two types of people go to a comment section. People that are trying to, like, date or get with the person that they're looking and commenting towards, or... straight up trolls, you know?
I won't read mine because they just ruin my day. Even if I get nice ones, there's always just one. I'm just like, God.
And it's so weird because we're going to focus on that one. We're going to always focus on that one because we're such, like, as comics, I think we're just such delicate flowers.
I shut them off on my own YouTube, but if I do, like, Laugh Factory put up a video and one day my roommate Lance was fucking putting our comments on the TV.
Oh, no.
And after, like, two, we were like, shut that. I don't want to. I'm having a good day. Why are you trying to ruin my life?
Yeah.
And they were just brutal. Just
plus,
fucking.
Comedy is so subjective, honestly.
Yeah.
So subjective.
So, you guys listening, be nice on the internet. We actually do care.
Everybody's got their own personal struggles, all I'm saying.
Yeah. There's a few keywords that'll make us all upset. So, just don't be dickheads. You wouldn't like it to you.
Yeah, I feel like if we could just write, like, on their parents, like, actual home walls or something, yeah, like, if we could just write comments back to the people, like, unsolicited, you know what I mean? Like, not like we're engaged in a fight with them on the internet, but just, like, unsolicited, like, you just see someone going about their day and just,
yeah,
like, write an internet comment, but, like, in their real life.
Yeah,
I think people would think twice before they just go off on people that are trying to make it in this industry.
It's the same people that hate when people write about them on Yelp, but then they go home and leave comments about everyone on the internet. Like,
exactly.
Just be nice is what I'm saying, people. What was your favorite toy as a child?
My favorite toy as a child. I really liked Kinects. Does that make sense? Do you remember those Kinects? They were, like, kind of like Legos, but they weren't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And you could build, like, roller coasters and stuff out of them. I was a big fan of that. I was a big fan of Ken Griffey Jr.'s Home Run Derby. Really enjoyed that.
Great.
Like, I loved, like, old school Nintendo and, like, that Nintendo 64. Like, that was my jam, you know? Game Genie, all the cheat codes.
So you were a tomboy growing up then.
Yeah. I used to put my sister's Barbie dolls in the microwave. Did not go over well.
What, they just melt?
They just melt. They get kind of deformed. They look like special ed Barbie, like, you know, Down syndrome Barbie. Like, her face just starts kind of, like, drooping on one side. Oh, that's so bad.
Wait, did your older sister?
I cut off her hair and be like, relax, it's going to grow back, you know?
So it must be your younger sister.
Yeah, I had a little, yeah, she hates me.
That's funny.
She hasn't gotten over that yet.
Well, it's kind of traumatic, probably. What's the most recent thing you've learned?
Most recent thing I've learned. I think I'm still kind of in this weird stage where I'm learning about being, like, all of myself with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether it be in a relationship or in a meeting. Like, not giving people, like I said, it comes back to authenticity for me. Where it's like, I have to be all of me with somebody. And if they don't like it, you know, tough crap.
Yeah.
Like, it's better than, like, being someone fake and phony and then, like, getting by on that and then being stuck in a miserable relationship or miserable work situation because I'm having to pretend to be someone that I'm not, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think I'm still kind of on this, like, journey dealing with. I think I'm not as much of a fighter as I used to be. Like, I'm not as combative. For some reason, I've gotten, like, really a lot of, like, social anxiety as far as, like, when it comes to confrontation. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes from, like, that fight or flight syndrome that you deal with when you're in, like, a series of crisis like I was in 2010, where, like, I just don't have it in me to, like, get all fired up. Like, if a dude tries to fight with me, I'll be like, well, and I'll literally walk out without an explanation. I'll just be like, deuces, yeah, and leave. And he's like, you just left. We were, like, in the middle of an argument. I'm like, yeah, I know. It was great. Like, I will literally leave, and they'll get so angry that I don't want to sit there and, like, throw spars, yeah, like, with them. It's just not going to happen.
It's, I think it's a much better life to just not sit, because most of the time you're arguing about shit that doesn't matter.
It
anyway
might be because I started smoking pot. We're like, it, I literally just don't care. I just don't care. And I think it's so funny when I walk away.
Wait, did you start smoking pot later in life?
I, like, maybe in the last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's not a lot. Like, I don't, I use it usually to go to sleep,
mm-hmm,
and to, like, turn my brain off. It doesn't always work that way. Some days I'm like, it makes me super creative, and I was trying to find a way to, like, harness that creativity. It's impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I haven't got mastered the art of, like, writing down thoughts that I have, like, my ideas, you know? Shit that you think of when you're high, and you're like, I wonder if this will be as funny when I'm not. And you're like, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, I've had a couple comics say, well, I smoke weed, it makes me funnier, and then they give up on it later. Like, oh, I was just high when I told you that. I was a dumbass. I wasn't writing anything better. I just thought it was better because I was high.
I honestly just use it to chill out because I finally, after 5 years of being prescribed Xanax, I was, like, unaware of, like, all the negative effects, like, it was having on my body.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest one being, like, when you try to come off of it and you don't do it the way the doctor wants you to, i.e. rehab. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait, I have to go to rehab for something that you guys gave me? This is ridiculous. Your body goes into, like, withdrawals, and you can have seizures from it.
Oh,
so
shit.
Pot was, like, a really good coping mechanism because, like, it hurts so bad when you go through withdrawal from Xanax that you want, like, you think someone's ripping your skin off.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's crazy. Sounds They're like, heroin's not that bad. I'm like, no thanks.
Sounds like your doctors have been shitty.
I think medical professionals can just be kind of irresponsible. You know, at the end of the day, it's medical arts. We're just kind of throwing some shit against the wall and seeing what sticks. It's not like a science.
Yeah.
I think people take doctors way too seriously sometimes.
That's true. I've never even thought about that. But, yeah, everyone's so different. Who?
Yeah.
It's weird that they just prescribe us all the same thing.
Yeah, they'll
we
be like, oh, you're
two.
Depressed. Here's some Wellbutrin. I'm like, that will drive me insane. It will make me crazy, possibly fat, you know? Like, it's just, it blows my mind that they just think, like, there's, like, a fix-all, you know?
Yeah. Who do you owe an apology to?
Who do I owe an apology to? Oh. I don't even know where to start. You know? I think I'm really good at apologizing to people. Some people would think that I'm not. But I feel like I just have to really be in the wrong for me to apologize, mm-hmm, to someone. And I really think, like, most times when there's a misunderstanding, we both owe each other an apology. Like, that's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
I really don't know. Like, my ex, I probably owe an apology to just because I picked up and I left to come to California, and I left New York, which is where he was. And it's a rough adjustment because I probably could have ended up with him. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? And anyone that's tried a long distance relationship will tell you it's not going to work. It just, everyone thinks it can. And, you know, back in the olden days when, like, yeah, people were away at war and stuff, they could write letters. I don't think there was as much of a plethora of ass going around back then. And I also don't think that the ways you communicate with someone, like, you can't argue with someone in a long distance letter. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? Like, that fight's going to go on forever. Whereas in a text message, that battle can go on for days.
Yeah, yeah.
And pretty
true.
Efficiently without ever even picking up the phone to talk to that person.
Yeah, that's true. When I remember emails. Well, I guess when I used to have a girlfriend when I lived in Phoenix and she lived in Wyoming, the letters.
Would you get super dramatic on AIM?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, have fights with people over AOL Instant Messenger, you know?
But then I'd have to leave the computer lab, and then I'd walk home and get over it. And
exactly.
You're right, these text messages.
But now that
we're
plugged into our computers all of the time, so, like, there's just no walking away from a fight.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like an addiction as far as, like, picking up our phone and seeing who's texting me. Like, you can't just say no to your phone. Like,
yeah.
I'd love to pretend that I ignore my phone, and I tell people, like, oh, I didn't have my phone on me. Odds are I have my phone on me, and I just chose not to answer you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's why I always yell at people, because they're like, I didn't see it. I'm like, I hang out with you all the time, and you look at your phone every 10 seconds.
Is there anything more annoying than when they post a social media update when they're ignoring your text message?
When someone's ignoring my text, I always just write I'd send them a text that just says, sorry, you lost your phone. That sucks. Hope to hit me up if you find it. And they'll always write back and go, oh, no, I didn't lose it. I just didn't. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, but I always send them that. And I always get a quick response from that. What moment in life were you the most scared?
Was I the most scared? I think when I was... I think when I was, like, really sick, coming off the Xanax withdrawals and dealing with, like, a ton of, like, other personal issues, like, that I think most Hollywood girls go through, like, eating disorder stuff. Like, everything culminated in my body, like, in, like, the perfect storm. Mm-hmm. And so doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. I literally thought I was going to die. And so I went quiet, like, on the internet for a long time, and I kind of hid out for a while, and people thought I disappeared, and they were like, she's still around when I came back. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I never left. I just kind of, like, took a sabbatical, kind of like when Michael Jordan's dad died. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. He had to, like, you just have to kind of go clear your head and play some minor league baseball. You know, I wasn't playing minor league baseball, but you know what I was doing was the one thing that I found solace in and, like, could calm me down was comedy. And I would go and I would watch, like, you know, Brad Williams and Chris D'Elia and Adam Ray. And I'd watch all these great guys doing comedy when I was at my really, like, my lowest point. And I was like, I want to be able to do this for someone later. You know what I mean? I've always wanted to do stand-up, but I never had the guts to do it. And I think it was just, like, one of those, like, crisis moments where I was like, if I don't do this now, I may never have a chance to do something. Like, you have one life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you better cram as much stuff that you want to do while, like, I'll do it the next time. Like, that doesn't work, you know?
Yeah, no, good to go. Always go for it. Always where did you go up it. The first time?
The first time I went up was at Brea? Yeah, it was at Brea Improv.
Was packed?
It was packed.
Who put you on?
Someone who's insane, obviously. but I had a decent name, and so I was getting, like, I got stage time rather easily. And I did pretty well. The amateur mistake that I made my first time I went up was I was like, jokes, 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 jokes. Everything was hitting, and I was, like, kind of feeling good about myself, you know? Uh-huh. And then I started telling a story. And they got quiet, and I didn't realize, like, I was like, oh, no, I'm not funny. Why is it not working? And I started to panic.
Uh-huh.
And then when I got off stage, and I freaked out, and when I got off stage, Grant Cotter and Johnny LaQuasto were there, and they were just like, Jen, they got quiet because you were telling a story, and they were listening to you.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was like, oh. Well, I feel a little bit better about that now. And I was like, I'm never doing that again. I'm never doing that again. And I was up again within a couple of months. Like, I took some time and I was like, I'm going to, like, actually, like, try to be good at this and not just, like, throw some shit against the wall and see what sticks. And I think I got up maybe, like, 6 months later, and then I haven't stopped since.
And it's the most drug there is, I think.
Yeah. People, I mean, always ask them, like, when you have a great show, and I've gotten to the point now where even when I have, like, a show that I'm like, that was mediocre, or I'm like, that wasn't quite the response I was looking for, I learned so much from it that I find it interesting, and I don't get butthurt if I have, like, a set, you know?
Well, that's a good point. Like, what you said, I remember when I first started.
Sets, like, are like boob jobs. You can always get another one. It's fine.
or the booker will reduce it.
Exactly.
Or you can get a bigger one. But I remember when I first started, too, and then I'd freak out with silence. And then,
you have
and then
to be
people were like,
that.
No, that means they're listening. Silence is good. It's when you just hear gibberish or shit, that means they're not listening.
Yeah, bar shows are tough.
But yeah, the first couple of times, they're like, oh my God, it's so quiet. And then that would make me panic. And then someone pulled me aside like, no, you had them. You just panicked like an idiot. Keep telling your story.
Oh my God. It's so crazy.
It's,
like,
the best,
but once you, yeah, there isn't a drug in the world that replaces that high that you get from being on stage and doing comedy.
It's so fun. What's the weirdest thing your uncle has ever done? Or any family member.
The weirdest thing any family member's ever done. My mom is... I don't know what's happening to my mom. I think it's because she's going through menopause. But she's gotten borderline insane. And I always ask my dad, I'm like, do you think it's like early stages Alzheimer's or what, you know? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, but she's literally gotten crazy in the past 2 years. It's happened. And I think it's also because she discovered wine. Like my parents were never huge drinkers when I was growing up, but now my mom like comes home and gets turned up every night. And so my dad has to deal with her. And she like, I don't know, like they like to hold on to, like my mom likes to hold on to everything. Like she's kind of a hoarder. Uh-huh. So when I go home, I literally will take garbage bags and just throw stuff away. Like stupid things. Like she has these little bobblehead dolls that she puts in the window that are like solar powered. I was like, what value do these add to your life? She's like, they make me happy and remind me to never stop dancing. I'm like, well, you never stop dancing anyway, and you look insane in public. So my mom dances like no one's watching, but all the time.
Really?
Yeah, because she teaches jazzercise.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that word forever.
Right? I was like, oh, my God, where did you find a time machine? Yeah. This is so weird.
Well, she sounds fun, though.
My parents are a blast. They're a great source of material. Like, my dad has super dry, sarcastic humor like me. Like, I was asking him, I was like, my friend's getting married. Yenli's getting married in Mexico. I'm like, how should I get there? Like, what's the best way to get there? And he goes, Skype. I was like, you're such a jerk. He's like, don't you understand? He's like, you won't make it out alive. And I was like, are you a member of the cartel? Like, yeah. What are you not telling me that I should be that scared about going into, like, white people Mexico, like Cancun?
Yeah,
you know?
You'll be fine.
Yeah. Bermuda is where all the bad stuff goes down, or Aruba, you know, that's where I should panic, yeah, but not in Mexico.
That's where you Skype.
That's where you Skype.
What, when were they the most mad at you?
My parents? Every day.
Every day? Wait, when you did Playboy, what did they say about
that? No, they were really cool about it. They were really cool about it.
Were you nervous about that? Were you more nervous to do Playboy or stand up?
I'm more nervous about doing stand-up because a lot of my material comes from, like, truth, you know, and it comes from my life experiences. And I'm sorry, but if you know me in some capacity, you're fair game. Uh-huh. Because odds are you've subjected me to something that I found some kind of entertainment in. And sometimes I just do things for the story. Like, I'll just annoy my parents for the story. Uh-huh.
It's for
and
work.
And vice versa. Yeah, it's for work. It's research. You know, so, but my parents got a copy of my stand-up sent to the house, and it was a set that went really, really well, but I'd gotten, it was New Year's Eve, and so it was the second or third set that I'd done that night, and so I was a little blitzed by then. I was drinking, because it was New Year's Eve,
of course,
and so my F-bombs were, like, a little more, you know, colorful, like, my speech was a little colorful that night,
yeah,
and my mom got kind of pissed off about that, so.
Oh, really?
I was like, well, that DVD, it accidentally got sent to the house, uh-huh. And I was like, that wasn't meant for you, like, I wasn't like, here, guys, like, here's my Oscar-winning performance.
They haven't seen you live yet, though?
No, they had an opportunity to in Tampa. My parents were both like, nah, I'd rather work, thanks. I'm dead serious, like, that's, and it's so funny, because a lot of my mom's coworkers and, like, the kids that, like, work for her showed up, and I was like, how come all of the people that work with you are at my show and you have no idea what just happened?
I'm sure they'll go one time.
And then never speak to me.
And then never
again.
Go again.
Do your parents go see you?
Yeah. My mom does sometimes, but I feel, you know, I'm pretty honest too. And the last time.
Do they make it into your material?
Nah, I keep them out of it a little bit. Well, my dad, I don't talk to my dad, so I talk about him because I hate him, but I talk about that separately. But my mom came to my shows in Phoenix, and I was talking about, like, doing anal and doing, I was being really honest because I've been working on just telling more stories about my life.
Yeah.
But I forgot my mom and little sister were there, and then the club owner was like, you got some balls to tell those stories in front of your mom and sister. And I was
like,
yeah, I forgot they were side stage. But they were, you know, I think my mom knows. I mean, I'm pretty honest.
She knows you're not a virgin anymore.
Yeah,
the jig's up. Mm.
So we're pretty open and honest about everything to each other. So some of it was, she probably, I'm not a mother, so I don't know. So probably some of it she didn't want to hear, but.
I have one line where I was like talking about having sex in my car, basically. And my mom was just like, well, I can tell which parts of your act are real and fake. And I was like, yeah, because I would never have sex in my car because it doesn't have tinted windows. I want to be like, the dog walker can't look me in the eye anymore. Like, you know, the neighborhood just does not, like, neighborhood watches on to me, you know?
Well, that's the only good thing. I think so the stories my mom do know are true. She can tell they're a little embellished for the stage.
Absolutely.
So then I can just say the other one's like, oh, you know, mom.
That's embellished.
I didn't do any of that.
It's elaborate.
But it's weird having, you know, my grandpa came. I always wanted my grandma to see me but she passed away right before she was going to come to a show, so that sucks. But in hindsight, she probably might not have liked some of them.
My grandmother is great for material because she's like, she's gotten to that age where, I don't know, she just does a lot of really funny things, usually exposing herself in public accidentally. That's like what, it's a shock, you know. I did Playboy, my grandma flashes dudes at Walmart, you know, that's the level of maturity in my family.
Half naked at Jazzercise.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So.
It's a good, it's a family thing. Have you ever been arrested?
No.
That's a good streak.
Keep that going.
Yeah. What city do you hate?
Oh, what city do I hate? I don't really hate any cities that I've been to. I will say that I don't get a lot of love when I fly through Minneapolis-St. Paul. Gee, I wonder why. They hold on to a grudge there, for sure, because they recognize me in the airports, and that is the longest layover of my life, even if it's a 40-minute layover, you know? I really don't like that airport.
People just say rude shit to you and everything?
Yeah, there's no filter, you know? There's no filter. I feel like in LA, there's definitely like more of a PC filter that people put on out here. Like in New York, for example, people tell you exactly what they're thinking. And I kind of respect it.
Yeah.
Because I still try to operate that way out here. And so people are like, she's got a little Asperger's. Yeah. She's on the spectrum. You know, I get that a lot. So.
Well, yeah, LA is, no one will say shit out here.
No.
Speaking of that, what was your first like crazy Hollywood night when you're just like, holy shit, I'm at this person's house, or I'm.
My favorite Hollywood night was I had a shoot at this really gorgeous house in the Hollywood Hills, right? And I don't even know if I'm allowed to say whose house it was, but I wanted to know whose house it was. And they basically wouldn't tell me whose house it was, but they were like, look, just don't wander around, okay? Which basically, that was like, okay. I'm going to wander around. Now that you've told me that I can't do something, I have to. So I went looking for the bathroom. There were air quotes around that for everyone that's not here. I went looking for the bathroom, and I wandered into the guest bedroom, and there were all of these portraits of the person painted. Like, and then they had these weird stuffed animal sculptures that were kind of shaped like dicks. And I was just like, what did I just stumble into? I have pictures. I'll show you so that you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But like, and if like I said this person's name, you would be like, holy crap, that's probably the best story of all time. Because like, this guy is like a big deal.
Wait, he has portraits of himself?
Of himself.
In the guest bedroom?
Oh, yeah. Everywhere, all over the guest bedroom. Like, not just a few. Like, they're, you can't say whose name
it
is, okay?
Won't. Holy
and all
shit.
These weird dead stuffed animals like laying around.
Holy shit.
Right? It's such an there are all these weird stuffed animals, and they're like they're restructured into these shapes of like penises, basically. He's like the Buffalo Bill of stuffed animals.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that insane?
Wait, so you were just there doing a shoot?
I was just there shooting something. Because, like, the guy that, like, knew, the guy that was, like, in charge of the shoot was, like, good friends with his now wife. And I stumbled out, and I was like looking. I was like, now I have to know whose house this is. And I caught him like watching us from inside the house, and I was like,
oh, he was watching. Oh, yeah. That's crazy. Dude, that Hollywood's the craziest.
Hollywood's such a weird
thing.
Who
in life have you met that made you the most nervous?
I don't think I get nervous around celebrities. I get nervous when someone I perceive to be a celebrity that like I admire them or like look up to them, like is like interested in me in like a romantic kind of way. But I don't really get starstruck by people.
Wait, well, who's an example of someone you look up to that? Is there an example?
Well, no, but I mean like every once in a while something will just happen where like I kind of geek out for like a second. Like dumb shit. Like Devin Sawa followed me on Twitter, and I got so excited. I was like, "Holy crap! I feel like I'm like Icebox right now." You know, like, but it was so dumb. You know, every once in a while, or like the guy from what is it, Billy Zabka from Karate Kid followed me, and I'd be like, "Oh my god, Cobra Kai is following
that
me."
That was a great one, though.
Dumb stuff like that makes me so excited. But no, I just get nervous when they kind of express like a romantic interest, just because I'm awkward in general. And in dealing with like that authenticity thing, I always feel like I have to like try to play the cool girl, and I fail at it miserably.
Who's the most famous dude to hit on you?
I don't even remember.
That's
even
not
know.
Married. So we
don't
get anybody
know.
In trouble.
No, you know, I don't even, I can't even think offhand, you know. I think I told Bert it was John Mayer.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, but he did it in front of a room full of people when I was at a show one time.
Oh, really?
And I had the mic, and I was just like, I am so flustered right now. You know, I have no idea what's happening, you know. But he was pretty up there.
He's a pretty big star. He's got a pretty good track record.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like,
pretty strong
no.
resume. Yeah,
hard
that's a
no.
hard no. I would have to say yes to that, unfortunately.
And then your next story on stage is yeah. that time I had butt sex with John Mayer. Hey,
that would go viral for sure.
He's like, just, my body is a wonderland.
Just trying to get something to go viral.
It's all lies.
What's the one place you've always wanted to have sex?
One place I've always wanted to have sex. I don't know.
Or the craziest place you've ever had sex.
God.
Beside your car.
No, car is child's play. I mean, like, it's not. It's kind of difficult. Like, on, like, a degree of difficulty, it's definitely, like, to do it right and, like, achieve the final goal. Like, it's definitely... like playing an advanced level video game, you know?
I just get cramps.
Exactly. There's no space.
Cramps and
like
Cheetos.
Like back in the day, it was
ass.
Like a single
yeah.
seat. You know what I mean? Now you've got like the center console to work with, the e-brake. Like there's just so much stuff in the way. You end up with like the gear shifter, like practically going up your butthole. Like, and it turns into some weird German you yeah. porn fetish stuff, you know? Like it's just not good. I can't even think about it. You know, I'm sure like public sex is like something that would be fun, but I don't know. I think I just get like, it's just a private moment for me. And I take a lot of like pride in like my privacy in that matter that I just don't go around like putting my stuff out there. Does that make sense?
Of course. That's good.
I'm not a prude. I just, that's just, you know, it's my secrets. You got to keep something a secret.
Of course. What is the greatest physical pain you've ever felt?
Xanax withdrawal.
It's what you said. It's literally like
your skin feels like it's being ripped off your body, and like it's the worst headache. I mean, it's between that and meningitis, I think, because meningitis is the worst absolute headache you've ever had in your life, and it goes down your spine.
Ugh.
Like it goes from like your brain to your butthole, and you can't move.
You
can't walk. Yeah, nothing. But yeah, that's probably the most severe pain I've ever felt.
That is awful. It just sounds awful.
Yeah.
No
crazy injuries or anything like that.
Well, I'm sure the boob job stuff too would hurt too.
But you know what? I don't take any, like, I don't get upset about pain that I cause to myself. You know what I mean? Like, if I get work done and I can be like, I'm going to look so much hotter when this is done, like, I'm okay with that. But if it's like, we're going to rip your tonsils out for no reason, like, if it's not an elective surgery, I have a problem with that. If it's an elective surgery, I'm excited. Like, I might as well be going shopping for, like, a new set of boobs, you know? Like, it's exciting.
I can't imagine. I would love to be able to get a new penis.
I'm going in for my new penis today, guys.
What's been the best day of your life so far?
Best day of my life so far.
Well, the first one that comes to mind, I know that's a hard question.
You know, that is a really hard question. And I think forget about all of these great moments that I have. Not just forget about them, but like when you have a new experience pop up, it just kind of trumps all.
Yeah.
So like, for instance, the first thing that comes to my mind is like being able to perform in front of like my friends and stuff in Tampa, and like my home crowd was just such an exhilarating experience.
To go home is the best.
Anytime I make a benchmark in my career, I feel like there's just like this little spark in me that reminds me of like when I was a little kid, like we're doing it.
Yeah.
It's happening, you know? And then something really crappy will happen. It's like, wow. Life is like a game of chutes and ladders for me. There's a shitload of chutes, but like every time you get to the top of a ladder, it feels really good.
Yeah. I think that's just comedy in general, just up, down, but I'm with you. My performing back home, that's definitely my best day. And I don't know if anything will ever beat it. It was
right.
So cool to see.
Where are you from?
Wyoming.
Oh, wow.
It was like a big, it was just my friend.
It was a big deal because nothing else was going on.
So nothing was going on. So everybody came out. So I really got to see everybody that ever mattered in my life. So it wasn't. It gives me the chills to think about right now.
I always like to reenact that one scene where it's like, you're cool, you're cool. Fuck you. That's what I like. That's, it's always fun when people are like, you know, Jen, we used to doubt you a lot. We're so happy that you're finally doing it.
The backhand.
I want to be like, thanks, Mom. Like, you're such a hater, you know? That kind of thing. Oh, backhanded compliments. My parents are really good at those.
They're good at those?
Yeah.
What one person would you like to punch in the face?
I would like to punch mean girls in the face, honestly. Uh-huh. There's one in particular. I don't want to say her name because she's in the comedy scene too. But I just think there's ways to get ahead without hurting other people. And, like, if you take pleasure in hurting someone else, because I'm, like, involved in that roast, like, the roast battle scene. And, like, two girls battling each other. Like, you would swear one of us had sex with the other's boyfriend. It gets so personal. And I have a really big issue. I think it's because of all the stuff I went through in New York with people spreading fake rumors about me. Like, there's plenty of real things in my life that you can talk about that I'm pretty honest about that you can make fun of me about. But don't make up rumors for the sake of making rumors, because I just... I have a really big issue with that.
How many battles have you done?
Three.
Three?
Yeah, three.
It's the most... I did one, and I can't wait to do it again.
It's so fun. Did you win?
No, I lost in overtime.
And you still want to do it?
Yeah, but I learned so much. I went against a girl. I'd never go against a girl again.
Who'd you go against?
Jen Murphy.
Oh, she's great, though.
Yeah, so I learned a lot. I mean, she did good too, and I just lost. But I want to do it again because I would do stuff way different the second time, and I would go against a dude. But
yeah, go against a dude.
The energy in the room, there's nothing like it.
The only thing that ever compared to it was walking out into the Jets stadium. That's the only thing. But like that roast battle room is super intense.
The crazy thing about it is when you sign up for it, you don't stop thinking about it until that day.
It really affects your set, which is why I took a step back because I lost the last one I did. And I should have won it. Like, Jeff Ross called me the next day and was like, I was really high last night and I'm really sorry.
Oh, really?
And I was just like, yeah, that doesn't help the fact that you embarrassed me in front of a group of my peers.
Who were you against?
I'd rather not say.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I have a big issue with people that don't write their own material. It's a writer's duel that is, you know? So, like, don't get up on stage and do somebody else's jokes that you've had written for you, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if you can't outperform me. Like someone, like Moses told me, Brian Moses, the guy that runs the battle, he's like, Jen, you get on stage with the confidence that I've only seen one other person get on stage with, and that's Jamar Neighbors. And Jamar Neighbors has a 3-foot black dick.
Yeah.
So, like, he's got a reason to act that way, but you just get on stage like you just don't care.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, there's just this confident. Like, if you see the pictures from my battle, you would in no way ever thought I lost.
Yeah.
Because all of my jokes hit, and I was so direct with her, and, like, so I'm aggressive when I'm on stage, especially doing that.
Who were the judges? See, I hated my judges. Well, I liked two of them. I just thought one of them was a piece of shit.
Gerard Small, Jeff Ross, and Rail Battle, I think, were the judges. There might have been one more. But Gerard was like, you messed up. Like, Gerard told Jeff, you messed up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff wasn't there the night I did it. Well, if you guys are listening, if you ever come to... LA.
Check it out. It's
Tuesday
a great
night,
room.
It's the best show in town, I think.
But don't go if you're sensitive. Like, that room is not for the faint of heart.
Well, yeah, don't perform if you're sensitive.
Well, that too.
Yeah, if you get your feelings hurt from
that's
jokes,
the thing,
don't
though,
go
I
to
don't
the
ever get
store.
I didn't get my feelings hurt from the jokes. That was the misunderstanding that I think people thought, like, when I lost the last one. I got messed up because I knew I had won. And there's not a worse feeling in the world than if you win a fight and the judges are like, oops, don't know what happened. Like, I got screwed. And that was the best way to put it. I literally got screwed.
Yeah, but there's no balance. Trust me, I thought I won too, but I don't know.
Ours
came down to crowd vote.
Yeah.
I mean, I just got to take my loss.
Well, I had two jokes that she had two jokes that literally got crickets. All of my jokes hit.
Uh-huh.
Some of them were meaner than others. Some didn't get an applause, like a laugh. They got, oh, damn, you know? So, but I mean, I always got a response. And sometimes that's all you need in comedy. I don't need your laughter. I just need to know you're listening.
Yeah. It's the craziest. What's your go-to fast food order?
I have not eaten fast food since 2005.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you eat then?
All like healthy organic stuff. Like I don't put any chemicals in my body since I got off the Xanax.
Damn.
Like everything is like super clean.
So what's like a regular meal? What'd you eat today?
What I eat today? It's usually like breakfast smoothies or like eggs. Like I do like pretty much the paleo diet just because I really am. I'm into fitness. but I really am into like fitness. Like I have a fitness shoot coming up in a couple months that I just wanted to do. Like, I like to set benchmarks for myself when it comes to, like, being in shape. Like, I would run, like, a 5K or a 10K. Not because I like running. I think it's terrible.
Yeah.
But, like, I support a cause or whatever, and I would go and run the race. Or, like, with this fitness shoot, I would just set the goal. So that way, I'm not going to the gym just to go to the gym. Like, I'm going with, like, a goal in mind, you know?
Do you miss any of that shitty food, or it's so far gone?
No.
It's like 10 years. So.
I think I would die if I ate it. Like, I would get so incredibly ill, it's not worth it to me.
That's good.
I eat a little bit of cheese and I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be terrible.
We're the exact opposites.
I'm jealous. Like I miss cheese a lot.
No, you're not missing anything.
Cheese is wonderful. I don't know what
you're talking about. Cheese is great, but just
cheese is the one thing
crap
that I miss. Oh yeah.
If you could save one thing in your house, what would you save? Not computer or phone.
It would probably be something my grandmother gave me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, or something that like had some kind of significant value in that regard. I don't take a lot of, like, I don't put a lot of stock in personal belongings, you know what I mean? Like when my apartment flooded a couple months ago, I was pissed because it happened like right behind where my television set is.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, damn it, there goes my big screen TV.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's replaceable. I'm the exact opposite of my mom.
Your mom, yeah.
Like, I am what's it called when someone throws things away for no reason? Like, I'm like, I don't give a shit if I have to buy a new one in 6 months. I don't have a place for this. I'm throwing it away.
Yeah.
Like, I am, opposite of hoarding.
What do you think your mom would save if she could save one thing?
Oh, my God. She wouldn't know where to start. She wouldn't know where to start. Like, she would have a massive panic attack and lay down in the fetal position if I asked her to do that.
Uh-huh. That's funny. What's the best concert and sporting event you've ever been to?
Best concert, Van Halen, New York City. I was like front row and
at the Garden, I assume.
Yeah. And David Lee Roth asked me if I wanted candy from a stranger. And I was on a date and my date was this big dude and he just looks at the guy and goes, yo, respect. Like, he was like, what? Like, then because he was twice the size of Roth, and he was just like, really? And like, you can hear it because he did it like on video. My friend was like videotaping him.
Uh-huh.
And you can hear like the whole thing go down. It's so funny. So that was like a great concert. I had fun with that. I had fun at like Weenie Roast down in Anaheim, but I think it's just because I ate a pop brownie before I went. Because I don't do well in crowds, so I was like, I got to make this day, like, tolerable.
What about sporting event?
Sporting events. National Championship Game 2014. Yeah, 2014. Or the Louisville-Rutgers game back in, like, 2007? Yeah, 2006, 2007. I don't remember. It was when Rutgers was ranked number 2 and Louisville came in.
Yeah, like
and
a Thursday night game.
Yeah, it was a Thursday night game at Rutgers, and it was such an amazing atmosphere. Like, those kids in Jersey know how to do it right.
Yeah,
they
do. Yeah, I remember that. That was a huge game.
I've been at some great games. Same with, like, when USF was ranked 2 and they went up to play Rutgers and got beat. I was at that one, too. Rutgers was, like, the upset team for a long time. It was, like, if you wanted to be in the national championship picture, don't play them. Because they didn't show up for half their regular season, like, games, you know, that were, like, important in their conference. But they showed up for whatever they needed to knock somebody off.
For the big game.
Exactly.
Wait, is football your favorite?
Football is my favorite. Baseball is a close second. Like, football is my wife. Baseball is my mistress. Like, my side piece, you know?
Who's your teams?
My teams... All Tampa teams.
All Tampa?
All Tampa teams. I don't really have much to cheer for.
Yeah.
Like, when I went home, it's so funny because there are all these posters around that are like these billboards that are like, this is Bucks territory. I was like, yeah, everywhere but the end zone. Yeah. Like, we are terrible. I was like, we Bucking suck, Dad. And he's like, that's huge. That's funny. But like, we're terrible. We'll probably get Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota. Either way, it's not going to go well for us because, like, Jameis will just be my problem again. Yeah. Like, I thought I got rid of him at Florida State. You know, I appreciate your service, but the circus that you brought to town with you was just not worth the ride. And then Marcus Mariota, I think, is just Italian for Matt Leiner. I think he's going to be a huge bust. He's going to be such a huge
funny.
Bust.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of either one of them, but I hope they pick Jameis. I root for Jameis. I don't think Mariota will be. But who knows?
I root for Jameis. If he comes to Tampa, great. But just understand that TPD will, like, literally have his picture up on the wall. Like, bonus points if you catch this guy doing anything shitty, you know?
And he'll fuck it up because he's. I don't know how you don't fuck up if you're young
he
and rich.
He is such a smart person with zero common sense. That's the issue.
Yeah, and that money's not going to help.
No,
I would
not
be arrested.
All.
I can't imagine being like 20 with millions of dollars. No. That's why I hate when people bash Bieber. I'm like, he's like a kid, man. What do you expect?
Exactly.
Of course he's
going to
drive his
Lamborghini. Everything they want.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have that. The Rays are... Every time I watch the Rays, like every season... The first game of the season, I'm just like, who the hell are these guys? Like, we never have the same faces with, aside from like Longoria. That's it. Now,
well, and it sucks you lost your manager because I love Joe Maddon.
He was the one that was he could make masterpieces out of nothing. And now I'm kind of like, we're gonna suck.
Yeah,
it
might be bad for a while.
Yeah.
What's the craziest, weirdest thing you've ever done for money?
Craziest thing I've ever done for money? I haven't really done, like, the craziest thing I've done for money is I felt that way when I got paid to do stand up for the first time. I was like, holy crap, I'm already getting paid? Like, that was 10 minutes of my time or 20 minutes of my time, and I made how much money? I was like, can we do this a couple times a night? And, like, that'll be good, you know? But honestly, I haven't really done anything crazy for money. Money doesn't motivate me at all.
Hooters is kind of crazy.
Not really.
Well, I guess not really.
I'm trying to think if I had any odd jobs. I really didn't. I was the nanny for an autistic kid, which was fun. I think that puts a lot of things in life in perspective for you.
Yeah.
But he was such a joy to be around. Like, he was such a happy kid, you know? I think I learned as much from him as I did... just going to college, just like about life experiences.
Uh-huh.
And like taking him to baseball games and stuff. Like, I would take him to like Rays games. One time he got away from me and he like ran away from me down like in the tunnel where the players go to their locker rooms, because like I had a little bit of recognition at the time.
Yeah.
And he got away from me and like ran up to Carlos Pena and like hugged him and like wouldn't get off of his leg. I'm like, I'm so sorry. And Carlos was like super cool about it, luckily. So
yeah, awesome.
I've never done anything really crazy for money.
What's the biggest bar tab you've ever picked up or seen picked up?
Seen picked up? Like 10 grand. But, when you're a girl, you don't pick up bar tabs.
Yeah, yeah, I was just saying, that's why,
like, that's
why I had to change
weird,
the question.
Yeah, that's such a weird, yeah. I don't really drink a lot. I don't drink very often. So, I mean, my exposure
or
to that's pretty
dinner
limited.
Tab or
yeah,
10,000 is pretty
limited.
Strong, though.
It was a pretty strong game.
Okay, plug all your stuff real quick, please. We've come to the last question.
All my stuff. Oh, wow, that was quick. My Twitter is at Jennifer Sturger. It's my real, like, my whole name,
mm-hmm.
my given name.
Without the Lynette.
Without the Lynette, thank God. And then Facebook, it's at Jennifer Sturger too, or whatever, you know, Facebook / Jennifer Sturger, jensturger.com, all those places. But, you know, at Jennifer Sturger for Instagram. I'm most active, I think, though, on, like, Instagram and on Twitter.
Twitter. That's where they can find shows and everything, what you're doing?
Yeah.
Perfect. Easy to find. All right, we've come to the last question. Thank you so much for coming and doing this. I'm glad you did. Tell Bert thank you.
Oh.
He sends me weird people. You're the best.
Thanks.
If you could script your last words before you die, what would they be?
Please don't draw a dick on my face after I'm dead. Let's get it on. Yeah. Yeah.